You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Is the Montreal condo market cracking? We're hearing doom and gloom from Toronto and Vancouver, but what's happening here? Units aren't moving and sellers are losing money. My network is asking me, is this a rare chance to buy? In this episode, I break it all down. What's happening, why, and what you, investor, should do next.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fan, thanks for joining me today. We've got a super interesting deep dive into what's happening in the Montreal condo market coming up. But first, I want to just give you a little bit of insight in what's happening for us with the Equity Builders Club in the upcoming weeks. We're having our next event, our back to school event, happening on August 19th. And if you would like to grab a ticket for that, you can head on over to the equitybuildersclub.com/events tab and go grab your ticket for our next networking event. So that would be really super. I would love to see you there. The first thing that we want to do is to parse apart some of the data of what we're observing. And I will tell you that this is actually not all that easy to do, because in researching for this episode, I'm kind of looking through Google, through GBT, through the different sources of data, through Centris, where we can try to evaluate really what's going on the ground with condo sales and also with condo rentals, because those are two things that are going together. In Toronto and Vancouver, I think the data is really pretty clear. So a lot of the constructions that were launched 2 and 3 years ago have been coming online in the previous 6 months in those two cities, and a lot of inventory is really sitting on the market for a long time. But with Montreal, it's actually kind of more difficult to really understand what's going on. I'm going to just play a clip for you that was recently aired on CTV News, and that's going to give you a bit of a sense for just how confusing this can actually be.
In Canada's housing market, condos are the weakest link. The steepest drop in sales and prices have been in Toronto. The trends in Vancouver are troubling too. Here's why.
If you're a seller and you don't have something that's amazing, it's tricky and you've got to be realistic.
A record wave of newly built condos is also adding to supply. Nearly 30,000 units were completed last year in the Greater Toronto Area alone. And there are more coming online in 2025.
What we're seeing now with all of this supply coming to completion is actually a reflection of demand conditions that existed 2 or 3 years ago. And that doesn't exist anymore.
Bank of Montreal senior economist Robert Kavchuk says the downturn is concentrated in the largest cities. Condo sales in April tumbled 30% in the Toronto region from a year ago and 20% in Vancouver.
We haven't seen sales volumes running this low again since probably the 1990s. We're pretty much at a recession in the condo market.
The condo market is being described as a buyer's market. The problem is there are few buyers to be found. From investors to homeowners, demand is disappearing.
For years, investors have been some of the biggest buyers of pre-construction condos, knowing there was a steady stream of renters in the pipeline. Not anymore.
Federal policymakers have put a cap on immigration. Population growth is falling off very quickly. You have a historically high number of purpose-built rental units.
Now rents are coming down in many cities. The average rent of a one-bedroom condo in Toronto fell almost 6% in April from a year ago, and Vancouver fell more than 4%. Add on a much higher interest rate environment and the cost of carrying the property as a rental is less appealing.
The investors are basically gone from the market right now, because rather than expectations of price increases, they have to look at things like cash flow. And at these prices, it just doesn't make sense at 4% borrowing costs. And what we demographically need is larger units with 2 or 3 bedrooms, and in a lot of cases, backyards.
Forecast in some markets, condo prices will fall another 10% this year. That would erase most of the gains seen during the pandemic. A stark reminder that rising prices in real estate aren't always guaranteed.
So while I think this clip is really interesting because it points to specifically this supply issue, which is really like an oversupply issue in the sense that all of these units that have recently been finished, which were in the pipeline two and three years ago, have created a glut of new units, probably smaller units in the, you know, concentrated in the downtown areas, but also just, you know, in the central Montreal boroughs in general. And so, you know, that's one specific set of problems. But like what I felt like got missed in this clip is really part of the conversation about existing condo owners and the effect of interest rates. Because I would say that in the past, you know, 2-3 months, I've had 4 or 5 people come and talk to me who made investment decisions. They purchased what by today's standards would be overpriced condos, at 1.5% or 2% interest with variable rate debt. And so what's happened to those investors in quotation marks, is that their you know, mortgage payments have gone up. And when initially maybe they were just, you know, $200 short every month with a tenant who was paying $1,500 for their unit, now the rents have dropped because there's just way too many units like that on the market. And when you're not able to, what do? You rent it. So now, whereas the rental values used to be $1,500, now let's say they're $1,300, and where their payments used to be around $1,600, they've now gone up to about $2,000 because the problem is that the interest rate on that floating debt went up. And so, you know, I've had conversations with people who are underwater by almost $1,000 on their rent every month. And so like, this is actually completely insane to me, is that you're busy subsidizing a tenant to live in your unit. So you're effectively paying $1,000 worth of your after-tax money to allow that tenant to live at a discounted rate in your brand new condo. I mean, that's just absolutely insane. And now, why would somebody do this? Well, if you look at the flip side of what the alternative is, well, the alternative is to liquidate that asset at a quite a steep loss. And again, if I refer back to some of these conversations that I've had recently, there are people who, you know, would have to take a 80 or 100K hit on the sale price of their condo to liquidate it today, just to stop that bleeding where they're bleeding, you know, they're bleeding $1,000 every month of subsidizing the rent of some tenant who's living there. Now, if you're faced with this situation, my advice is always going to be take the hit, get it off your books, rebuild whatever down payment capital you have, and then consider placing your money in a investment vehicle that's going to make more sense. So if you are somebody who finds yourself in that particular, you know, situation, I'm very happy to be able to tell you, you know, you should liquidate it and move on to the next thing. But I think on a macro perspective, for people who are maybe eyeing this condo market and thinking, does it make sense for me to pick up some of those discounted assets now? What I really want to introduce here is this thing that we've discussed on the podcast before, which is that difference between investment and speculation. So investor logic is long-term logic, and it means that what you're trying to do is, in order to calculate a stable cash flow, you know, have an asset that's cash flowing over a particular time period, you want to lock down those variables. So you want to be able to lock down your rent. You want to be able to lock down your mortgage payment for as long as possible, just so that you can really be sure, you know, what your ROI is going to be, because otherwise you're kind of shooting in the dark. Whereas the speculator logic, and this is where I see a lot of people get burnt, is when they think, okay, I'm going to pick up this asset now and I'm going to hold it for a year or two. I'm going to make 50K and I'm going to sell when the market's high, right? But the thing is, none of us has a crystal ball, and the level of volatility that there's been basically since the COVID period is really quite high. And if you're sitting there trying to time the market with a whole bunch of crazy variables, whether it's tariffs or Trump or the next pandemic or the next war or the next market wobble or interest rate change or the brain fart of the federal government in Canada, who's going to do Lord knows what with, you know, CMHC criteria. Like, there are just so many variables that can have wild swings of the investment market, and to choose to, you know, invest in a volatile asset class like a condo, maybe, you know, not the best decision if you're more of a neophyte investor and you're hoping to make a fairly safe bet. And I think we're now at a conjuncture where a bunch of people have gotten burned. So I want to just, you know, play another clip for you and then take apart a little bit some of the other reasoning that's out there so that you're kind of aware when you hear these discourses in the media or maybe from like other friends around you, exactly what kind of thinking is at work here and what kind of points the analysis, the typical media analysis might be missing. So you'll notice that there are a few things that are interesting here that I want to draw your attention to. So the first thing has to do with the rental vacancy rates. And this is where there's really not a whole lot of data that's available. You know, I regularly try to pull the data on vacancy rate in Montreal. And unfortunately, because there's lag on that and there's just no proper reporting, the data that's available on the web is saying right now that we have something like a 1% vacancy rate in Montreal, that the rental market is extremely tight. But I know from the way that my management practice is operating that that is not the case. And I've confirmed my suspicions with some of my other colleagues who have larger management portfolios than I do. And we've all just had a very strange July where a lot of the rental markets, rental units that we have stayed on the market a whole bunch longer. And in order to get those units rented, pretty much everybody across the board, we've all had to drop our prices somewhat, sometimes by up to around $200 a unit, which on a $1,600 price tag for a rental unit is like really, you know, a significant amount of money. So it's difficult to find proper, you know, rental data. And I wouldn't believe the hype right now. I'm going to play another clip a little bit later on that talks about how crazy the housing crisis is in Montreal currently, which is actually not really the case when you look at what the actual vacancy rate is. And so I think we have to just be a little bit more strategic in how we understand that data. Now, is there an affordability crisis? I certainly think so, because the truth is that salaries have not grown as fast as rents have. And so it's true that there are a lot of people who are out there looking for units to rent that are having trouble finding something that meets their budget. But that said, there are way more empty units and landlords are having a much harder time renting those units than we were even 1 year ago. So don't believe that there's a 1% vacancy rate in Montreal. I would expect that 6 months from now, when the CMHC data actually comes out, we're going to find that the vacancy rate is significantly higher than that. But when we're specifically thinking about the condo market, let's understand why this is actually really a big problem, because the vacancy rates tend to go up as the rental prices go up. And purpose-built rentals and some of the older rental stock tends to be the more affordable, the cheaper stuff that's on the market. Condos, especially newer condos, tend to sit at the very top of the rental market. And so that means that the vacancy rates in that specific market segment are really pretty catastrophic right now. And again, anecdotally, in referring to conversations that I have with some of my colleagues, the larger buildings, apartment buildings or newer condos where developers are not able to sell those condos, they're busy trying to rent them. And there's like crazy, like 20% vacancy rates, and they're giving away free months of rent, you know, as if it was nobody's business. And so in general, this should show us that there is a real weakness in the rental demand, especially in the segment where condos would be at the current time. Now, the other thing that I find really interesting is talking about how there's this kind of mismatch between what developers have put up as some of these newer condos, so smaller surfaces of condos, whereas according to demographic needs, what we actually need on the rental or even on the housing, you know, the primary residence side are bigger units with additional bedrooms, perhaps houses, even with backyards and things of that nature. And so there is this kind of mismatch between what the product that has been brought to market currently and what the purchasing market for people who are looking to house themselves, are actually looking for. And again, here, you know, anecdotally for myself and the practice of many of the realtors that I know, that first rung on the housing ladder where young professional couple or people who are just starting families are trying to purchase their first house, or maybe even, if their budget is constrained, their first condo, that's difficult because there is this mismatch in between the smaller rental condos that are available and the needs of the actual market. And then the final point here, which I find super interesting in this program, is that they're talking about the statistics of just how far condo prices have fallen since the beginning of the pandemic, looking at how there's this confluence of rising cost of borrowing, so rising interest rates. There's now an oversupply. And then, you know, at the same time that there were these crazy gains during the COVID period in terms of how much real estate went up, and that a lot of people in the speculation mind frame were trying to capitalize on some of this, and that now a lot of those gains have actually been erased. So I find that that's like really very interesting that, you know, in some of the larger markets like Toronto or Vancouver, some of those astronomical increases that there were, certainly in condo prices, have been erased by the recent downturn. And so what I want to do now is that we've kind of like looked at some of the contributing factors and we've looked at some of the data, some of what might be going on. And I want to kind of like zoom out and look at two specific issues that if maybe you're facing a decision in this arena, hopefully will help you out in that thought process. So the very first one is that if you are one of the unlucky few who bought one of these condos and even worse on a variable interest rate, or if your mortgage is now coming up for renewal and you're going to be facing a 5% interest rate when you purchased at a 2% and now the rental market is softening, you're going to be looking at really taking a loss on that. And either you're going to have to sell at a loss and just eat whatever that sacrifice would be, or else you're going to have to effectively subsidize a tenant to live there over a long period. And then also heading into kind of an uncertain future, because what you're doing is that you're gambling that like, okay, I'm going to pay, let's say $1,000 or $500 a month in order to paid for the condo's costs while a tenant is living there and giving me less money than I owe in payments. And I'm gambling that at some future time, I'm going to be able to liquidate that asset and like make up some of that loss. So basically what you're doing is you're putting off actually eating whatever cash loss you're going to have to eat to liquidate the unit today. And to that, I will say there are many, many, many other people who are sitting in the same situation. And in whatever time, be it 2 years or 3 years from now, once you've subsidized the tenant and lost that money holding onto an asset that's not performing, you're going to end up having to eat that loss anyway. Because assuming that there is this, you know, upward trend that's going to just lift all ships, like if you had just cut that loss and maybe saved that money and put it somewhere else, or invested it somewhere else, probably you could have done better than whatever loss you're taking right now. So my recommendation is that if you're sitting on one of those unperforming assets, just do whatever you need to do to get rid of it now to be able to reset the clock and, you know, start your investment journey over again and presumably make a better decision next time. And now, if you're somebody who's wondering, like with all this doom and gloom, is this a good time for me to pick up a discounted condo and myself turn to condo investing when there's this crazy slump? And to that, I would say, I think that generally speaking, condo investing, those are just more volatile assets. And, you know, what I like to say is that, like, let's say you're looking at investing on the island of Montreal, the land supply is limited and building more condos, if developers decide that for whatever reason, it makes sense for them to put up another 20,000 units in the next 3 years, you as a condo owner have absolutely no control over that. And is that going to happen? Probably not until some of this stock gets absorbed, but there's just a supply volatility that's built into the condo market that doesn't exist with single family homes and investment properties in the same way. Because just imagine that developers decided that they were going to try and put up 20,000 new single family homes on the island of Montreal in the next 5 years. Like, hopefully you're chuckling away in the same way that I am, because first of all, the city is not going to approve 20,000 new homes. Believe me, approving one home takes 2 or 3 years. So there's no chance that's going to happen. But there's also a limited supply of land. And so the supply of that is kind of much more fixed than condos that can, you know, go indefinitely skyward with the same footprint of land. And then also thinking about, you know, what that versus perhaps investing in some kind of a rental property. Well, the same thing with purpose-built rentals. If you're evaluating, let's say, you know, a triplex or a duplex, that would be more in the kind of single-family home category. Because as single-family homes become too expensive for people trying to get on the housing ladder, one of the things that people are doing is turning to the duplex and triplex market. So in a sense, the prices of those kind of assets, despite interest rates, despite recession, despite all of these things, because the supply side of that equation is just that much more stable, it's less likely that there's going to be a similar kind of volatility to, you know, what's going on in the condo market. And then the other thing is that, like, because there are just, it's so difficult to deal with the uniqueness factor, right? Like the other thing is oversupply of units, but then also in the condo market, you're kind of dealing with this new car situation where a new car is always going to be more attractive than a car that's 6 months old. A new condo is always going to be more attractive than something that's been around for 2 years. And so because you're facing this, ultimately there's going to be more volatility and like there's more of a, you know, some of the spoils go to the newer asset and to the developers as opposed to somebody who's trying to trade out of a condo that they supposedly like invested in for 3 years. You've really got a bit of that new car phenomenon, whereas when that thing becomes used, it's just that much less attractive to potential buyers, especially those who might be owner occupying it. And, you know, if I can sort of by way of conclusion, just leave this also with, you know, a comment on the previous clip about the, you know, whole immigration situation. I think that that's something that, like, you know, we really need to keep our eyes on as this potential, you know, recession, downturn, slowdown comes. What is going to happen with the immigration decisions that happen in the next, you know, year or so? Because I think that's really going to then not so much affect immediately the purchasing environment, but it's definitely going to affect the rental market. And then that, you know, ends up having effects also onto the purchasing direction. Now, the last place that I wanted to leave this is just with this kind of what I thought was almost a funny clip about, you know, the viciousness of the housing crisis in Montreal this past July. And I think in light of the fact of growing vacancy rates, I wanted you to just listen to this so that you have a sense just for how the media tends to deform things and present like kind of half of the information.
And the Montreal market is also facing headwinds. Even though the median price of a condo jumped 3% in the past year, it's fueled mostly by sales in the suburbs. The downtown market is much slower.
One developer was telling me as a joke that his biggest competition in the new condo market was not other developers, but it was the condo he built 5 years ago.
Recent numbers from the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation show just how tough the downtown condo market is. The CMHC says 25% of recently built condos in downtown and Griffintown would now sell at a loss. And what if they decide to rent out the unit? The CMHC says the majority of landlords would not cover their expenses.
If you take into account the monthly mortgage payments, insurance, taxes, condo fees, the rent that they're asking on the market would not be able to cover those losses.
Real estate broker Amy Assad says,
a condo that was selling 10 years ago is selling for less sometimes than what the person paid for it.
Now, what I find super interesting with this clip is, first of all, the fact of, you know, citing, I guess, falsely low vacancy rates. As somebody who, you know, has my nose to the ground very in a very close proximity, you know, at the current time, I'm telling you that there is not, you know, maybe a lack of units. I know we have some vacant units left. I know that other landlords do as well. Now, is there an affordability crisis? 100%. Rents have progressed. And so I don't think there's so much, you know, pressure in terms of vacancy rates at the moment. But I do think that there's an issue with the fact that rents have risen beyond, you know, the capacity of certain groups of more vulnerable people or underemployed people to pay for them. So I think that this is a real issue. But I think that this is also where, you know, the media does a bad job of really reflecting what's truly going on, because I think vacancy rates are definitely rising in Montreal. And so if there's a crunch. It's an affordability crunch more than it is, let's say, a true housing crisis where there are actually not enough units that are available. I think there are units that are available. It's just that there is a mismatch price-wise and that perhaps housing actually can't be provided, you know, at a cost that matches what certain people's budgets are. So I think that that's, you know, something that we need to think through. But I think that ultimately the reporting does a disservice when it makes it sound like there's just not enough rental units out there. It's more that there's really an affordability crisis going on, and that's something that we need to kind of, you know, address collectively. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have learned something from, you know, what we've discussed here today, and that you are armed with perhaps some critical thinking with respect to what's being said in the media, that you have some insight into what to do with this downturn, you know, in the condo market. And I would also encourage you that if you enjoyed this podcast, please go ahead and share it with somebody who you think could profit from it, or just go ahead and take your friend's phone and subscribe to the show when they're not looking. That's another thing that you can do to help us out, help the show grow and get the word out to more people. Thanks for listening. And I hope that you will join us at our next networking event for real estate investors in Montreal on August 19th. There's still tickets left for our event, so you can go ahead and grab them at equitybuildersclub.com/events. And until next time, real estate fan.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.